It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 326, entitled Things Hard Won Will Not Be Easily Lost. It was recorded on Monday, the 10th of March, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by Taco. I don't know how to do his surname. Taco Vadon Shot, something like that. But also by Marika van der Echt and Marcus Burnett. We are a WordPress podcast. We get a bit silly this week, in all honesty, but that's quite entertaining. But we do finally get onto some WordPress bits and pieces. First up, we talk about Marcus and the fact that he took over Bod's Seriously Bod podcast, and then we get into all of the bits and pieces in the WordPress space. So there was a bug which got quickly resolved, disconnecting parent themes from child themes. Then speculative loading, which is coming in WordPress 6.8, is under the microscope, and we talk about how this could be good, possibly bad for the environment, but broadly speaking, it's very, very good. Then we talk about, well, for a long time, the majority of this podcast is talking about a piece in the repository where Ray Moray talks about who leads WordPress businesses and the fact that females are very, very underrepresented indeed. WPLDN has a masterclass coming up. The Admin Bar has an event which is happening next week, which you might be interested in. It looks a little bit like a panel show quiz or something like that. And then we spend a little bit of time talking about CloudFest. I eat a banana, and there's a lot more other things happening as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hey. Hi. It's episode number 300. I think that's wrong. No, it's right. It's 326 of This Week in WordPress. That means it's the 326 one. We've done 325 before this, and hopefully we'll do many more in the future. As you can see, I'm joined by three other people. However, there's only two other boxes. I won't bore you.
Technology.
Yeah, we had fun. Honestly, that was really entertaining. Let's do it. About 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, Marika, who's there, she joined the call in her own little rectangle, but we couldn't hear the audio. And so I was sort of worrying, like, oh no, we're not going to be able to have Marika on the show. That'd be a nightmare. And then Taco just left his little rectangle and then appeared in Marika's little rectangle. But normally we're all in different parts of the world, so that was quite exciting. I would love one day that I could do this. And it, yeah, exactly. Come into your screen. And that was nearly possible. So as you can see, I've got three WordPressers with us today. I've got Taco Vadon. I don't know how to do that.
Don't worry, you'll get your practice.
I've got Taco Vadon Shot. We'll do the bios in a minute. We've got Marika van der Echt, and we've also got Marcus Burnett joining us from different parts of the world. As always, we're going to talk about the WordPressy bits and pieces that have happened in the last 7 days. Honestly, like when we started this, episode number 40 or something like that, you know, we weren't all that far in. It was quite a hard thing getting WordPress news. There wasn't really a lot happening. Now it's like a tidal wave. Is that a relentless... Yes. There's non-stop. it never seems to stop. So hopefully we'll cover some of that today. Some of it more, you know, political than other things and what have you. And a piece of news which has just dropped like moments ago, which is quite transformational in the WordPress space. So a few bits of housekeeping before we introduce our guests. The first one is, if you're joining us, thank you. You make the show so much better. And we would love it if you want to make some comments. The best thing to do if you want to join us is head to wpbuilds.com/live. And if you don't know how that's spelled, there it is. Look, right there next to Marcus. wpbuilds.com/live. Over there, you've got a couple of options. You've got the YouTube embedded chat. So you need to be logged into some kind of Google account, Gmail or something like that. And you can give us some comments there. However, if you don't like Google, and honestly, it's going that way, isn't it? Then you can use the inbuilt chat into the little rectangle, which is the video player. There's a little thing at the top right-hand corner. I think it's a little black button, says something like live chat. And you don't need to be logged into anything at all. And you can comment in that way. Send your pets, dogs, family, relations, enemies, anybody. Send them to that URL. And get them joining in the chat, a bit like some of these people have done. Thank you so much if you're joining us. Here's Michelle Frechette. Look, she's saying good morning from Rochester, New York. It's 43 degrees Fahrenheit over there, 6 degrees and sunny. I think it's warmer here, Michelle. It's probably about 10 at the minute. But guess what? Guess what the skies look like? I mean, you can't possibly. It's very cloudy. It's the UK after all. Hey, I don't know, Taco and Marika, I don't know if you've seen, about halfway between me and you is an environmental catastrophe unfolding. Yeah.
Taco just told me.
Oh, absolute nightmare. There's been a collision between an oil tanker and another vessel of some kind. Yeah, it literally is about halfway between the pair of us. And it's going to make life entertaining on the coast where I live, I imagine, in the near future. Friendly web guy says, no comment. Okay, thanks. That's Dave, by the way. Appreciate it. Good morning, says Cammy. Back from my run walk and missing everyone. Marcus, see you later today. Oh, that's nice. Cammy's just had daylight saving, changing in her favour, so she doesn't have to get up at stupid o'clock to be part of this show. She can now get up at 7 o'clock, which is not so bad. Maria?
For a week, right?
Oh, is it? Oh
yeah,
really?
We'll switch again, and then it
doesn't last long.
Oh, bogus. Didn't know that. Okay, sorry. Commiserations, Cammy. I thought that was, you know, a six-month thing. Maria says, hi. Thank you. Thank you, Maria. Seeing Marcus reminds me I need to update my WP World profile. Oh,
yeah,
we can get into that in a minute, can't we? And what's going on here, said Bud Krauss. Don't you guys work? Yes, we do, but probably not as much as we should.
This is work, let's be fair.
That's right, yeah. And some of us, Michelle says, are looking for work. We could get into that in a minute, but let's do the bio, shall we? And let's remove that little thing. Okay, first off, I have to make an apology. And every time that Taco comes on this show, I misspell his name in exactly the same way. It's ridiculous. I have a mental block, and I always misspell his name so that his surname, which has got a C in it, the letter C in it, I just omit it. And frankly, Taco, it would be really helpful if you just changed your name so that...
I know. That's why I used the shortened version online, because you're not alone.
Yeah.
Well, I like taking a piss of it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know me, I love that kind of stuff. However, as a sort of getting me back thing, Taco's decided that I'm going to say his name rather a lot in the bio. So here we go. I'm quoting. He's written it himself, but I'm reading it. I, as Nathan Wrigley, continue to forget to write a C in Taco's surname. I will use this intro to practice pronouncing his last name, Verdonshot, which I think is right. Taco Verdonshot is the co-owner of Progress Planner and a director of community and partnership at Amelia Capital. Mr. Verdonshot is active in the Make WP community team and does some polyglots work on the side. Don't forget to mention that I'm a father of two amazing daughters, Verdonshot told me. And according to the WP World, nicely done, Taco, over 50 WordPress events have been attended by Verdonshot. Thanks to his former position at Yoast and his current job at Progress Planner. This is called keyword stuffing. And now I'm done pronouncing Verdonshot. So it's time. So this is the end of Taco Verdonshot's introduction. let me move on to our other guest today. I appreciate that, Taco. That was good.
Yay. Well done. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for letting me get through it. So there we go. There's our co-host for today. And moving on, obviously sitting next to him is Marika. How are you doing, Marika?
Good, good.
Sharing the mic today. That's quite nice. Yeah. I don't know that we've... Oh, yeah, we had one time. We had a mic share one time. Marika van der Acht is a partner at Amelia Capital, where she advises portfolio companies on marketing and branding. She's also involved in developing Progress Planner. Next to that, she's active in local politics, and she's a teacher in online marketing at a university. Previously, she was the CEO of Yoast, where she founded Yoast Academy and played a key role in the company's growth. In 2021, she led Yoast to a successful acquisition by Newfold Digital. Thank you for joining us. Local politics, what's that about?
Local politics.
Yeah, are you like a burgeoning MP? We call them, or is it very much local? Are you just
it's
doing
very much local.
Oh, nice.
Tonight, I'm going to talk about. We have a little castle in our hometown, and we're talking about the yard of the castle.
Okay, it really is that local. Okay.
It's very local, but I like it a lot. I can do some. I don't know. It's still valuable, I think. So it's a nice equilibrium. Is that a word?
That is.
Yeah. Between WordPress, which is kind of all around the world, and then having something so local and tangible to do. So,
do you know, that is really interesting, because I think there's a big part of me, and it wasn't until about 2 or 3 years ago that I noticed it. I was really kind of looking outwards through the medium of my phone and the internet, like the world was elsewhere and kind of forgot that probably the more important bits of my life were actually here, you know, within 100 meters of where I live and beyond. And it's kind of easy, isn't it? You know, you obsess, I don't mean you, one can obsess about Twitter and Facebook and social media and kind of forget that the yard of the castle needs looking after.
And local politics here and is still so nice. Everybody is nice to each other. We don't agree at all because they don't, but they're all nice and civil. So it's actually fun to attend such a meeting and to discuss about stuff. And so, so it's very different from the global politics at the moment.
Yeah, global politics at the moment is anything but civil, isn't it? Yeah. But we won't get into that because we might end up being non-civil. Now, I should say that in all the bits and pieces that I tweeted out, we were going to be joined by Rob Cairns, but sadly he contacted me just a few moments ago, well, about an hour ago actually, to say that they're having power outages in Canada, or at least where he lives in Canada. So he's not able to join us. He couldn't rely on that. So commiserations, sorry about that, Rob, but I hope that all of that gets fixed quickly. However, as you can see just down there, we do have Marcus Burnett, who's joining us today. How are you, Marcus?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Yeah, Marcus's mic always sounds so nice. I think it's a confection of not only the mic, but your vocal cords. I think you've got one of those radio voices, which is kind of nice. Okay, so here we go. Marcus is now well settled at Bluehost, where he's grafting away on all things customer experience. He's the brains behind The WP World, a cracking WordPress community networking site, and co-hosts the Do The Woo podcast. He's also mucking in with the WordPress photo directory as a photo moderator and happens to be one of the top photo contributors to boot. Mostly, he's just chuffed to bits to be here with a brilliant bunch of WordPress folks. Well, that's nice. Thank you very much indeed.
I wrote my bio and then asked ChatGPT to Britishify it for you.
Oh, so it's got chaps and things like folks and things like that. That's nice. Oh, it did a good job. I appreciate it. Okay, so let's crack on. First of all, a couple of things here. Let's just see who's given us a comment. Bod, it's like an episode of Friends. We sit around talking and drinking from promo mugs. That's what we do here. It is very lighthearted, this whole episode. Get real, Taco. I don't know what that's in reference to. How do you really pronounce it, Taco? Have I got Taco right? Is that it right? Yeah. Give us the real, genuine, authentic pronunciation of your surname.
Verdonschot.
No, I'm not even.
I can do that.
I know. I can't.
For anyone who speaks Dutch is not very hard.
No.
For everyone who does not speak Dutch, it's quite hard.
Yeah, I think you grow up and your mouth is moving in different ways and your tongue is probably ending up in different locations than we have. In the same way that, you know, if you hear somebody speaking in French or something, it's just all different, isn't it? Yeah. And then Bud says, I want Marika to be on Seriously Bud. How do we do that? We don't come on this show and try to solicit guests for another podcast, Bud. What the heck? Do it afterwards.
I love it. That you first put it on the screen and then read what he says.
Totally fine. Yeah. I'm sure Marika will be in touch, but we're going to get on with the WordPressy bits and pieces. This is our website. Here it is, wpbuilds.com. We are currently sponsored. Thank you very much to these following companies. We're sponsored by GoDaddy Pro, by Bluehost, and by OmniZen. They keep the lights on over here. Thank you. Really appreciate it. We have a podcast archive of over 400. So we've got this show, 320 whatever it is. And then we've also got a show that we release on a Thursday, which comes out. We're on episode 312 of that. So we're kind of honing in on nearly a... Is that like nearly 1,000 episodes? No, it's not. It's about 900 or 800 or something like that. Anyway, it's quite a few. And you can see recently we've been speaking to Simon Harper. We spoke to Matt Medeiros recently. So if you want to subscribe to that, click on this little link at the top, /subscribe, and get yourself signed up. And... that's probably it. The first thing I want to mention this week, though, is a guest contribution. Look at this. Is it Bud's just taking over? What the heck? actually, Bud's not taking over. Marcus is taking over. And Marcus has raised this as one of the things he wanted to mention today. What happened here?
Yeah, Bud's podcast is just hit the 50 episode milestone. And as we were approaching it, thought it might be a good idea to turn the spotlight back on Bud. Nice. Bud and I partnered up a little bit ago to make Seriously Bud somewhat of an unofficial podcast for the WP world. So there's like a Seriously Bud tab in the top navigation and everything, because I really like what he's doing, sharing the stories behind the people in the WordPress space. But I wanted to turn the spotlight back on Bud and let people get a chance to hear his story. So I asked him if I could interview him, and he graciously agreed, and so that came out on Friday.
Nice. So you can check that out. If you go to seriouslybud.com, then there's a whole slew for 50 previous episodes. This one you should avoid, though, because there's not a lot of content in that one, but the others are pretty good. So thank you for doing that. That's quite nice to be invited to do that kind of thing, isn't it? So seriouslybud.com if you want to check that out. And okay, let's move on to like WordPress core-y type things for a moment or two. This is kind of an interesting one. I noticed this at the end of last week and I thought, gosh, this will be an interesting one if it develops. And I think now, Taco, I think you said this has now been patched, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you scroll all the way down, because it's a long ticket by now, you'll see that the patch was tested successfully. So these are the screenshots related to that, slightly above that is the confirmation that it has been fixed.
This was a really interesting one, though, because it really could have upset the Apple cart. I mean, obviously, that's what the beta testing and all of that is about. But this was somebody, and it's Fabian Kagi, who noticed that, well, the title of it gives it away, parent themes incorrectly not getting resolved in WordPress 6.8 beta 1. So the beta version, which is what it's all about, checking it all out. The child themes weren't getting picked up as by the parent theme or the other way around. And this got a really serious problem. So I thought, this is really something to get our teeth into. And of course, the moment I pick it up, it becomes a non-story because it gets fixed.
But it was a real thing. And I think this shows why it's super important to be testing in that beta phase and in the RC phase. So this is exactly what this beta phase is for.
And it's kind of interesting, right? So looking through this issue was initially tracked, I think it was 4 days, 4.5, 5 days ago or something like that. And, you know, Fabian puts out this thing hoping that people will pick it up. And it really does give you an indication of the level of seriousness that many people take the project. I mean, just look, I'm scrolling. There's an awful lot in here to fix what would have been a fairly cataclysmic bug. But the point is, loads of people jumped in and save the day. So anybody who contributed towards this or any other ticket, frankly, thank you very much indeed. But nothing to see here, which I suppose is a good thing. However, Speaking of core and all that kind of thing, just moments ago, I was prior to kind of hopping on this call, I got a message on Slack from Taco. And I don't think we've got a screenshot or anything like that, but Taco, do you want to just say what you just saw? This is kind of like breaking news, and it's really interesting.
Sort of, yeah. So there's a core committers channel on the Make WordPress Slack. Basically, that's a channel where all the core committers have discussions, but it's open, so you can follow what's happening. And Matt Mulloway posted a rather large message, which contained, amongst other things, the proposal to do only one release a year until the court case against WP Engine in 2027.
Yeah.
Which is, well, it's a proposal. It's not set in stone yet. At the time I saw it, there hadn't been any comments to it. So everything may change, but it would be quite a significant change from the 3 to 4 releases that we've had in the past, as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in fact, have mooted for this year as well. So I don't know if it's going to sort of hijack that, but I'm reading off a screenshot. So first of all, I'm trusting that Taco successfully screenshots on and didn't just create some fake news. But Matt posted, and there was a bunch of bullet points all about 6.8 and the commitments and WP Engine and so on and so forth. And then it moves on to say this. One approach would be delaying 6.8 and making it the only release this year, 6.9 in 2026, and then aim for 7, because Matt also previously indicated he didn't want to buck the tradition of going to 6.10, 6.10, because that's not happened before. Assuming a positive outcome of the jury trial, that in itself is an interesting little portion of that sentence, because what if it isn't successful? I would estimate WP Engine is, and then it goes on to the cost of that. Yeah. But we don't
and how ridiculous it all is.
Yeah, and how much money is being spent on basically lawyers and what have you. Yeah. But that's kind of interesting. That feels like a total feature freeze, right? Would it just be a case of, if there's one release, would you jam pack it with features, or is it just steady away, make sure nothing breaks?
Don't know.
Yeah, so either way, it could be very interesting, and not necessarily in the good sense, because if you want to keep things safe, so you don't want a single update a year have anything break, you're basically halting any progress, which competitors like Wix and Squarespace are definitely not doing. So that potentially hurts, or maybe not even potentially, but might hurt WordPress in the slightly longer term, maybe even short term, because that will take a reputation hit if the word gets out that there's hardly any development being done for the next year. The other way around, if you jam pack a release and you build for 12 months or even longer before you do a release, what's the chance that there will be no serious bugs, and that they'll, if there are bugs, that they'll be easy to track, because you'll have changed so much code over the time of a year that it becomes really hard to properly test and release something bug-free. So that would be a whole different challenge.
It's kind of interesting. If like me, you're on the inside of the baseball of WordPress and you obsess about it, the releases of WordPress become kind of non-events, because you've kind of like, you've got all the preamble, you know what's coming, it's been well announced, and then, you know, the news articles describe it, people write blog posts about it, you go into the Slack and it's all described, and then it finally drops, and typically there's nothing to see here. The features that drop, and there's not much of a problem. Very occasionally we have to do a very quick update, but it means that when WordPress rolls out over into a new version, there's not much apart from, you know, you upload and you get a screen splash for a moment of something new. There's not much to see. This could really alter that, couldn't it? You know, you'd have a whole 12 months to wait and then potentially a ton of new features that, well, I guess would overwrite features that haven't been. Yeah, go on, Marieke.
That would be the good news. So I'm afraid, and I don't know, but if you combine this with kind of a lack of vision of what WordPress will be in the future and in 5 years, which I don't see, and with automatic pulling back and all their resources, just kind of feels like we're going to delay our progress in WordPress altogether. So perhaps it would be good if it would be a really big release once a year. It would be really bad news if we now, instead of three releases, we'll do one a year. And I'm afraid that that's going to be the case. But Marcus, we don't know that.
No, we don't. No, and of course, we should just say it's kind of breaking news because we saw, or rather Taco saw it on a Slack comment a moment ago. And it really is, it's not, this is what we're doing. It's more, would you, have a listen to this, see what you make of it, kind of commentary, isn't it? Marcus, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think there's a general trust in WordPress that exists because of the multiple releases a year, knowing that there are things coming down the road that we can look forward to in, 3 months, 4 months versus waiting 12 months. I think kind of impeding that progress would be, difficult, like Taco and Marieke have shared, but also I think it erodes some of the trust, not to say that there wouldn't be minor releases in between those major releases, right? So if bugs were introduced, I imagine there would be work done to kind of fix those bugs. So not as worried about that, but as far as like the major features being released and that kind of progress, there's trust that WordPress has built with the community and with people that are using WordPress to build that, if what you're missing is not there now, it may just be a few months before that piece is there versus you may have to wait a year before that ends up in the WordPress, core product that you need. Need to be there.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I honestly, I never see things through this prism, but that's so interesting. Dave, sorry, Marcus, it's just always going to wipe out your mouth, I'm afraid, when we put comments up. or your entire head, depending on what you do. Thank you. Yeah, you just go like that. Another attempt. So this is Dave Gray. Another attempt to get the community to uproar that we need regular releases and put pressure on WP Engine, WPE, to drop legal. So Dave's seeing it through that prism, the idea that, okay, interesting. Who knows where that'll go, frankly, but that's quite a seismic shift, isn't it? Quite a seismic change. But obviously, if we don't have the manpower and all the money is being consumed in legal fees and what have you, I guess from Matt's point of view, things will have to change. And he's speculating what that change might look like. Andrew Palmer, hello Andrew, taking a little late lunch to watch. And how can it be possible that his podcast has four of my fave people on it? I do it for you, Andrew. That is,
we're all here for it, Andrew. Yeah,
honestly, we were talking about you relentlessly before we hit record. It was an Andrew love fest. Okay, and I don't know what to say after the words Andrew love fest, so I'm just gonna quickly
awkward silence.
Awkward silence. and then move on. Okay, so that was the previous piece, and then this. Okay, something exciting in WordPress core. I love this. Really interesting. Let's hope that 6.8 comes in a timely fashion. So this is the idea. This is written by Felix Arntz, who I believe is a Googler. I want to say he's... Nods. Okay, great.
Yes.
And Felix has been working with the performance team, I believe, and he's talking here on the make.wordpress.org channel. The article is called Speculative Loading in 6.8. This is so clever. This is such a neat little way of getting... like tweaking a great performance improvement, really for, I want to say not much work. The engineering is probably a lot of work, but dear listener, your WordPress website will not need almost any work for this to, to take effect. And the idea is that we use something called the speculation rules API. It gets baked into core. It's been tested on over 50,000 WordPress websites as a plugin. And basically what it does is when you're moving around on a website, your mouse hovers over a link. There's this tiny little window of time in which you don't click. Your finger hasn't yet descended on the button. And that tiny little amount of time is impossible for you to calculate, but your computer has gone, looks like this person wants to go to this website. Why don't we just start loading it just in case they click? And it's a fraction of an amount of time. You know, what is it? It's something like 0.1 of a second or something. But the point being, it's loading in the background so that when you do finally click, either it's all ready to go or it's partially ready to go. And it's just such a clever idea. And across the board, the prediction is that this one little tweak will shave 1.9% off your LCP score. So 2%, let's call it that. And what do you have to do? Absolutely nothing. It's going to be baked into core, basically no settings. And this is the way the world's going. All the major browsers, well, I say major browsers, I don't think Firefox has got this quite yet, but Chromium, Edge, Opera, those kind of things, they've all got it. And it just seems like a really, really neat idea. This article goes into the weeds of how it all works, but I have two thoughts. My first one is, hooray, very clever. My second one is the environment, which is, what are we doing? Do we need to load that? Like, is it that important that we shave this amount of time off? And we're always talking about sustainability and needlessly sending pixels across the internet and all of this kind of stuff. So I'm kind of sitting somewhere in the middle. And so I'm just going to throw that to you. Do you like this idea? Is this something you welcome in core? And now that I've thrown that sort of alternative view of it, is it potentially a thing you might want to switch off, depending on where you sit on the whole environment and the internet debate? So over to you.
I think the question here is, how often is it wrong? Because if it's right, like in 99% of the time, then that's totally fine, because then you'll click it anyway.
Yeah.
But if it's wrong, like in half of the times, then probably it will be an environmental thing, and then I will be against it.
That's an interesting point. I read this article from top to bottom, and I have no recollection of the percentage, you know, the probability that that amount of hovering leads to a click. But my guess is it's done on some algorithm, which is has a very high.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. That would also be my suggestion.
Yeah.
And in the plugin, they tested with a slightly more aggressive setting. So it would the sort of earlier say, you're probably going to load this next page. Whereas the setting that they will use by default in core is quite conservative. It's actually called conservative, which means that it will be correct in a larger number of cases.
Yeah, in fact, they use the phrase, which I love. I don't know why. It's being prefetched with conservative eagerness. It's great. I love that. I think you're right. So the conservative there, I guess, means we're going to err on the side of caution.
Yes.
So the amount of time that mouse is there is not like, okay, the minute you hover over any link, let's start loading it. There's going to be a little bit more to it than that. But just absolutely fascinating that there is a period of time in which the mouse you can imagine it, can't you? You're moving the mouse around. The mouse sort of slows down as it approaches the link, hovers there, and then the human brain goes, okay, I've arrived, now let's finally do the click. That tiny portion of time is enough for the computer to go, hey, let's get on with it, we know what's coming. And such a little tweak, but like you said, in this case, prefetched with conservative eagerness.
And let's be real, if you already have a fast loading website, it means that loading time goes down to practically zero.
Yeah.
So if it is even half a second that it gets that advanced time to load before you've sort of decided, I'm going to click this, and your website takes 0.6 seconds to load, then for the feeling will be it's instant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so it will be.
User experience on a fast website will be absolutely magnificent.
It's kind of interesting because it makes me wonder if like, so WordPress, 43% of the internet, if every website gets this and everybody's scores for, let's say, Lighthouse and what have you, if they all come down, i.e. improve, does that mean the goalposts just get moved from Google's end? Because, well, everybody's good now. We need to make it even more difficult to get these good scores. I'm guessing probably the answer would be maybe a bit of a yes. So, yeah.
And not everybody is good.
No. Okay. Yeah. Well, speaking of this, speaking of good, Bud thinks it's a bad idea. He says it needs to have opt-in or opt-out. Yeah, so if
it does have opt-out.
Yes.
So it has opt-out, but my understanding is there's not much in the way of settings. If you opt in, you just, it's on. But there are settings if you're a developer. As you can see here, there's ways to customize it in code and what have you.
And I can imagine that someone's going to write a 10-line of code plugin to add some settings in a UI for those who don't want to do this in code.
So, Marcus, you've got like a really like dynamically driven website with a ton of data moving around. So you've got maps and you've got these queries about events and jobs and what have you. I'm presuming this is the kind of thing that would appeal to you, because if it can shave, I don't know, a quarter of a second off your load time, that would be a good thing, I'm thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And the WP world would be in that group of 50,000 that have been testing that, because I've had the performance plugin with the speculative loading in it on the site for a little while now, and it does make a difference. I will say I was kind of hesitant at first, for maybe not quite the exact same reason as you with the environment, but just thinking about people who are paying for data on their devices that have data loading in the background now, whether they click on it or not, and also just bandwidth on websites in general. You know, there's more bandwidth if they're not clicking on that link, there's more bandwidth being taken that maybe wouldn't have been taken up previously. And at the scale that WordPress is, if it's wrong even a percent of the time, times 40%+ of the internet, that's still kind of a lot. That being said, I think what ultimately the best news is that there are two pieces to it. There's the WordPress side of speculative loading that can continue to get better over time, but it's also using native browser technology that will also continue to get better over time and will close that gap of how often it's wrong. And so I think between those two playing nicely together, figuring out where that sweet spot is on how to determine whether somebody's going to click on those links or not, I think will make some of that a non-issue.
Yeah. I'm kind of waiting for AI to figure out all the links I'm going to click over the whole year, frankly.
Yeah. Just and go ahead and click them for me.
And preload for the whole of 2026. Even like, you know, articles as yet unwritten. It's just going to figure it all out for me. It'll happen. It's bound to happen. But there you go. Interesting technology, and not one, I've got to say, not one that I'm seeing being talked about in other communities. So maybe we're pushing the vanguard a little bit in the WordPress space with this.
I do think that the performance team has a history of really pushing sort of state-of-the-art stuff to WordPress.
Yeah.
So pretty much everything they've been doing so far has been quite game-changing.
Yeah. That performance team, like, have hit it out the park so many times in the.
They're really performing.
Yeah, they're doing. Oh, that's good. I wish I'd said that. Damn. Okay, yeah, they are. They're getting like top grades, getting an A grade. So thank you to Felix for writing up that piece, and also the performance team for doing all the bits and pieces. Now, okay, here we go. It's not lost on me the irony of what I'm about to do. I am a white male, so is Taco, so is Marcus, and this show, frankly, was going to be entirely occupied by four white males. And, you know, this happens. I'll tell you how the booking for this show works, just so that I inoculate myself a little bit, even though you're going to say it's not good enough, Wrigley, because it isn't. I have a booking system, which is a spreadsheet, which a few select people, Taco is one of them, they can book onto, and they just pick dates that they want to go in. And the other one is a link which I spread far and wide to anybody who wants to come on this show. And it's occupied on a first come, first served basis. Okay, so that's how it works. But something interesting dropped in the news this week, which makes me feel like we can't talk about this. And Taco was very gracious and he said, look, we really can't talk about this. We need other voices.
And we should. We still should talk about it.
Right. Thank you. But I don't want to be accused of like being insensitive, saying the wrong thing, because I am probably part of the problem. Okay. There. Having said all of that, Ray Moray posted a piece this week. Oh, no. So I should say Taco in the background reached out to a lot of people and asked them to come on the show. And sadly, many of them couldn't because they had other bits and pieces. But I am very grateful to Marika for joining us today. And actually,
I will say the stupid things.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Thank you. Brilliant. That's great. Can we have you back every week?
I'm just in the other room.
Yeah, just over there. And so Ray produced this piece this week, which is leaning into a load of work which has been done by her and various other people since, the back end of last year. Now, we all know what happened towards the back end of last year. And as luck would have it, or the opposite, I think is probably the case, as luck would not have it, this piece that they were talking about dropped at the same time as the whole brouhaha with Automattic and WP Engine. But here we go. So Ray Moray in the repository wrote this piece during the course of this week. It's called Who Leads WordPress Businesses? The data confirms it's still not women. And so this is WP Includes, which is co-founded by Siobhan McGowan. She, I believe, is she Tenop or is she human made? I don't want to.
She's neither.
Oh, is she not?
She was human made. Oh. Already out there, right?
Well, yeah, yeah. She's at PatchTech nowadays.
She's at PatchTech
now. Okay. So Siobhan, who was at one of the two companies I just mentioned, but is now at PatchTech, co-authored a report with Ray. And they got in touch with a bunch of businesses. The numbers are down here somewhere. 332 people across 90 WordPress businesses gave their data. And you know what's coming, right? It's just entirely predictable. You can imagine. But the bottom line is, so it's related to female representation at the top of WordPress companies. 4% of companies have pledged to WordPress's Five for the Future initiative to have women in their top leadership roles. Only 5 of the 69 WordPress VIP agency partners have a woman in their top leadership role. More than half survey respondents report to a male manager, with only 1 in 5 having a female manager. Nearly a quarter of women surveyed said that they have experienced bullying, harassment, and or discrimination due to their gender in the workplace, compared to 4% of men. That is an eye-watering difference, isn't it? 1 in 5 women have had their judgment questioned due to their gender, compared to 1% of men. It just goes on, doesn't it? 55% of those surveyed report to a man, only 24% to a woman. This piece, you just read it. Who leads WordPress businesses? The data confirms it's still not women. Now, at the risk of putting my foot in it horribly, I'm just going to hand it over to Marika, who, as the bio confirmed at the beginning, is really quite a remarkable person in the WordPress space, it turns out. What you did was entirely atypical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. What do you make of this?
I noticed that, especially when we were doing the acquisition process, we talked to a lot of companies, and I was often, it was COVID, so we did it all online. So I was often the only woman in a box, because all the other ones would be men, except for Newfold Digital, which we ended up selling to.
Yeah.
But all the other ones were mostly men. Yeah.
So all of that, like, we can't rewrite history. All of that is the case. And obviously, you know, you could take apart Ray's survey numbers and say, well, 390 odd, whatever it was, is not that many. And so, but it's what we've got. So let's just assume that that is, broadly speaking, true. Firstly, it's a bit of a sad indictment. I do wonder if the tech industry in general, you know, has this kind of skew.
I'm afraid so. with every bit of research that I've seen over the past 10 years on this topic, the tech industry is not in a good place diversity-wise.
No, and then WordPress is actually not as bad. So if I look at, if we go to conferences, then WordCamps are the most inclusive conferences there are. They're really quite inclusive in what kind of people are on stage compared to other communities, especially if I compare with the SEO community. But the SEO community actually made a big... So they were really bad. And nowadays, they're not anymore. So they've also caught up with us. But I think WordPress was really good at that. And that was also something that was weird to me, because I was the CEO of Yoast, and I didn't really feel like, oh, that would be a big deal or a big thing up until we started selling the company. And then I saw, oh, with everybody like in the top levels, they're all men and usually white men.
It's really interesting, because I don't work in a company. It's just me. And so I really don't sort of see the knock-on effects of that. Marcus, you work in a big company. Taco until recently worked in a big company, but obviously Yoast was going its own way and probably on this metric, at least anyway, was doing excellent work. But yeah, Marcus, any thoughts on this?
Yeah, and like Marika mentioned, Newfold's CEO is female, Sharon Rowland. So, you know, proud of that fact, working at the company with a female CEO at the top. But yeah, I mean, like you shared, you and I and Taco are not the right demographic. However, I do have two daughters. Those are my children. I only have daughters. And so my hope in all of this is that they have role models to look up to and, you know, can see beyond, you know, middle management or something as their like ceiling for opportunity. And so, you know, I kind of follow along with the same news stories and read the same, you know, it through the lens of a dad of daughters who wants to make sure that they know that they have those opportunities right now. Maybe that doesn't feel like they do. I want us to be in a place where it does feel like that for, you know, females entering the space, young girls that are entering tech in general, or WordPress specifically, that, you know, the ceiling is truly the top like everyone else.
Well, it's interesting that you use that phrase ceiling, because if I just put the screen back up, the piece, obviously, you know, it's easy just to lay out all of the problems, but here's an interesting phrasing of it, and I'll quote directly. Ray says, the report highlighted both a glass ceiling, keeping women from top positions, and a broken role, preventing women from stepping into leadership roles at all. And I'll paraphrase the bullet points as well. Men are almost twice as likely as women to believe they had good career progression opportunities. Sponsorship and mentorship programs, which have been proven to help women, are rarely implemented in WordPress businesses. And women are three times more likely than men to spearhead gender equality efforts in their workplace, which adding, as it says here, extra unpaid labor to their roles. And then actually, there's a little bit more to it than that, but you can read the article. And then Siobhan has an interview with Ray in which this problem kind of is spelled out, because Siobhan describes just how difficult it is to generate the time, even in her own life, as somebody that really cares about this. You know, she makes the point that priorities are putting food on the table, aka doing the good work of being an employee or an employer or whatever, and then worrying about the family and, in her case, you know, relations and children and all of that kind of stuff. And so doing this kind of work just feels like an added burden to the female people who end up having to do it because there doesn't seem to be enough out there, you know, enough companies out there who are doing this work. So I don't know that this article is presenting the, here's the problem, here's a perfect solution. This is more of a, here's the problem, what do the community think about it? But I was just highly aware that, you know, it doesn't, the optics are not very good if I just drone on about it like I've got a solution to it, because I really don't. But
And you say that, and but even if it was just you, me, Taco, and Rob, and you don't feel like we should be talking about this, I think the burden rests on us just as much as the females to make sure that we talk about this, make sure that we, you know, do something. It shouldn't be completely on, you know, people who are worried about, you know, taking care of their children, putting food on the table and all. Like, it's everyone's problem. We should all be trying to figure out how we can make this, you know, better for everyone.
So interesting.
I cannot speak from personal experience, but I'm happily married. And a couple of years ago, my wife was pregnant, was on maternity leave for a couple of months, came back, and at the end of that year, her manager did the end of year appraisal and said, look, you've been away for 4 months, so there's no way I can give you a perfect score because you haven't been performing for 4 months. And even though that, I mean, the fact that he just said it like that could have been reason to go to court, because that would be illegal in the Netherlands to act like that. But what are you going to do? What are you going to win? Because it would be the end of her career at that company if she would actually sue the company for a couple of bucks. So that's impossible. So even though it's super frustrating and it is, there's laws against it, it still happens. And I can only stand there and sort of support and, hey, this is not on you. This is the company's fault for not recognizing how well you've done this year. But it's super hard. So yes, when we see this happening in our own companies or with people around us, the only thing we can do is speak up and not let that burden be on the person that is being discriminated against.
Okay, I feel less sort of like I'm doing the wrong thing now.
No, you're not doing it. I think we need everybody to change it, and we should be aware that everybody has prejudice against men and women. It's really important that women have prejudice against women as well. That's just how we are raised, all of us. So I think it's very important if you hire someone in a technical company that you'll have a committee, the hiring committee, that represents both men and women. So when I entered the leadership of Yoast and became the CEO, I was the only female. But I think because of a role model, but also because I was more into the hiring process, we hired lots of more women also in the development department. So having a woman hiring people, that means you end up hiring people that look like you because you understand those people. It's just as simple as that. Yeah. Not because you don't like them, or but they probably have the same humor. I like Dutch people because I understand what they do, and other people think we're really blunt, but I understand. I know exactly how to pinpoint them and to be sure that they can do what they're supposed to do. So, but that's not always the right choice to hire the one that looks like you. That's just the safe choice. So I think having a committee that consists of men and women, and also people with a different background, that will help in hiring people, and maybe also in giving promotions and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting you disclosing there that, you know, you just sort of hire based upon, like, it's not a conscious bias. You're not thinking, okay, right, this is the laundry list of categories that have to be, you know, ticked. It's just, you just hire the person. But if the people are all a bunch of white men, the glass ceiling is real, right? You're not going to get through that glass ceiling because they are typically going to hire people. I don't know how we solve that problem. The reason I said I don't feel quite so bad is because, well, my job really is to just raise awareness of things. You know, I don't have to be the person that created the idea of any of these stories. Other people wrote them, generated them. I just raised awareness about it. So I feel less weird about that. So I'm pleased about that. And And Peach has made an interesting comment as well, which is kind of worth putting on. Sorry, Marcus. There are so many situations. So Peach and Eri, I should say. Yeah, thank you. Ah, beautiful, beautiful bit of highlighting there. Look at that. That's great. There are so many situations also where it's quite hard to prove that you were excluded or bypassed or gaslit because you were a woman. It's been truncated on the screen, yeah. But I'll read it out. And may I add, an older woman in some cases. So also age getting into that conversation there. And then she goes on to say, and yet you find out later that a job you didn't get, even though you had decades of experience in a specific area, was given to a young man who tells you openly that he has no experience. I mean, it's just somewhat galling, isn't it? So I don't have the solution. I do have a platform to raise it. If you've got more intelligent answers than I clearly have, please step up, do your bit, you know, make yourself known.
I think that the interesting thing, because you said when you joined Yoast Leadership, you were the only woman. At one point in Yoast Leadership team, I was the diversity hire for being the only man.
So really well within
a couple of years, that completely turned around. And that's the role models that you need. And so having someone sort of being the first to bridge that gap, pulling up others, not because they're women, but because they're most qualified for the job, but are now considered instead of dismissed due to prejudice.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we need fathers like Marcus, because for me, you know, it's also been, I only have one daughter and I have three sons. And I see how they are now all hitting puberty, and she gets different. And I think she's the smartest of the bunch. They're all lovely, but she doesn't feel like that. She's always been told that she's not good at mathematics. I don't know why, but she feels like she's not, because I think that's just a boy thing. So that is something I do every day, making sure that she doesn't feel like she's any less smart than boys are, and smart is often that correlated to how well you are in math.
I think women in general are smarter. What I will say is that what I think the problem
with the PhD here.
There you go.
No, I think the IQs are equal, but there are both. More men that are really, really, really smart and weird, and there are more men that are really, really, really dumb. And that has to do with the fact that intelligence actually is, you can talk. No, intelligence is on the X chromosome for a bit. Well, not all, everything, but a large chunk of it is on the X chromosome. So that means that if you're a girl, you have two X chromosomes, so it levels out. So you're not the weird
double smart. I think in hiring, I think a lot of time it's finding the culture fit, right? And then teaching the gaps in the knowledge. I think if the culture fit is all men, then your culture is wrong, right? Yeah. I think that's where it needs to start, is figuring out how to have the right diverse, different perspectives culture within your company, so that when you are hiring for the culture fit, like, the pool is wider. It's not just that, you know, young white man.
Yeah. Well, it's a thing. I hear people say you should trust your gut while hiring people. If you trust your gut, you trust your prejudice. And that's so I don't want to say don't trust your gut, but at least be aware that your gut is full of prejudice. And if you are hiring, that you should be aware of that. So what we would do at Yoast, if someone would come in, which I wouldn't understand because maybe a different background or something, then that person would get an extra interview to make sure that we would not hire someone for the wrong reasons.
Gosh, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. So little steps that you can introduce in your company to sort of offset
to
that.
Make sure that you're not prejudiced, because we're all are, and you can't. That's okay, but you can do stuff to make sure that you are not hiring someone for the right reasons.
Yeah. Interesting. Andrew Palmer making a comment. We should never be afraid to discuss issues that affect people, he says. Yeah, it's interesting though. If you, because curiously, there's not many subjects that I don't really feel comfortable talking about, but there are a few, and this is one of them. And it just comes from the abundance of not wanting to seem like you know what you're talking about, because how can I know what it's like to well, Peacher made the perfect comment there. You know, I haven't been turned down because of a suspicion that I have in the back of my mind that because I was a white male, I was looked at for that job. You know, I just haven't gone through that. So it's just as
valuable for you to say, I don't know, and make that be known rather than saying nothing at all.
I am, before the whole thing at the Yoast and stuff, I was a criminologist, but I wasn't a criminal.
I was going to say, that sounds bad.
You can still study things that you're not a part of.
That's well said. Yeah. All right. I like it. What I've learned from this is that I want more X chromosomes. I think that's what I mean.
That's what you want.
I want a world in which people care as much about my skin color, my gender, my religion, fill out the rest of that sentence with all of the things, as they care about the color of my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's ever sort of coming up to me and going, what, you've got brown eyes, we can't possibly, or my hair color. Well, I don't have any hair color. I have an absence of hair color, but you get the point. Like that's the world I want to occupy, where those kind of things, it's just not relevant. Yes. Nobody's thinking about it.
But in order to get there,
right,
you do have to care.
Right.
Because that's obviously something that a lot of people will respond is, but I don't look at color. I don't look at gender. I don't look at, except that you should.
It's
because there is a difference and it's super relevant. And the fact that you're a woman or queer or of a different skin color or whatever metric means that your journey towards that same interview, towards that same position in a company has been different from anyone else's. And so we should care about all of those.
Up until it doesn't make a difference anymore.
Yes.
Right.
So I fully agree that I'm hoping that day comes.
That's what we want to get.
When I was doing my PhD about the criminals, I won a prize, but it was only a prize for females. So I was like fed up because I want to beat all the men as well. But prize to make sure that there were more women into, I don't know, academia stuff. But I was annoyed by that because I wanted to win for everyone. It's not the best feeling, and I've had it a lot of times, that you're on a stage and you know that you're only there because you're a woman. But I still go, and then I'll just make the best of it. But it's not the best feeling. You want to be there because you're awesome. But then I'll think, I'll show them that I'm awesome. Yeah.
Ray, could I make a request? Ray will be fast asleep at this point, but Ray and I speak fairly frequently. I'm going to make a request, Ray. I'd love for a follow-up piece to see, not necessarily just to make us all feel good, but it was something about what Marika said earlier about the WordPress space being potentially slightly ahead of the curve. Yeah. I'd be interested in comparing the WordPress data with just, I don't know, tech or anything in general, because I have an intuition that our community might be one of the communities that could advance this more rapidly than potentially other communities. I could be wrong about that, but I have an intuition, although, you know, and certainly unscientifically tested, that the WordPress community does tend to apply a little bit more thought to these kind of things.
It's the community and the business side of stuff.
Right.
While the community is far ahead and thinking about diversity, I don't know what the business side is.
Good point. Yeah, I'm conflating two different things, aren't I, there, actually thinking about it.
Yeah, business and the last thing I would want is for us as WordPress community to sit back and say, oh, well, look, we're doing better than So we're there. Because
I wonder what perfection here looks like then, because that's an interesting thing, isn't it? When you think about these things, what would the goal be? I mean, the world is, I guess, in every respect, the world has bits of unfairness thrown into it. So given that, it'd be kind of interesting to hear from Ray and Siobhan what the goal would be. You know, what would be a moment at which you say, well, that year was a measure of success. You know, things happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, and we can say that we succeeded, we moved that forward a little bit. Cammy says, so this is more broad political comment, we're currently going in the wrong direction in America on this topic. I feel like the whole world has moved in a sort of slightly different direction, not just America, but, you know, look at things in Europe as well. Yeah. Things are definitely on the move, shall we say. So fingers crossed that things hard won will not be easily lost. I think I just came up with a neat phrase. I think that was quite good.
I just slipped out.
Yeah, it just came right out. Can somebody write that down quickly? It can go on my, it can be my epitaph when I finally move on from this world. I've already forgotten it. I was so pleased.
The good news is it's recorded, Nathan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The whole thing of this podcast.
Hang on, I'm going to write it down. 1 hour and 3 minutes is when I uttered the groundbreaking sentence. It's going to change everybody's lives. Okay, are we happy to move on from that story? Should we go on to something else? Because there's plenty of other things that we've got
here. I think there's a related story that we should probably touch on.
We did, funnily enough, we did cover this last week, but let's touch on it because I think it's important. So again, Ray, doing the good work. By the way, if you don't subscribe to Ray's news, just what the heck?
Yes!
just go.
Do that.
So it's called the repository.email. Ray does the journalism. She actually writes the story. She knows what she's doing. She can actually write as a journalist because she is a journalist. And, you know, is a journalist, if you know what I mean. She has a heritage doing this kind of stuff. And she really does the hard work of digging out the stuff in WordPress. So bravo to her. Go and subscribe, therepository.email. We did cover this last week, which is why I didn't kind of raise it too much. But somebody who was impacted in a similar way, we'll just cover it briefly, was Pooja Dharashree. Who kind of independently, if you like, spotted that this was a thing. And rather than sort of pontificating about it, like I do, decided to get out there and do real things and facilitate real change. And so as a result of the bits and pieces that Pooja and probably many others did, look at all this, all these different bits and pieces that are going on in the world over the next period of time, well, really mostly in the month to come, smorgasbord. I'm glad I got that word in this show. A smorgasbord of things going on which are empowering women for WordPress, Women WordPress Day 2025. Like I said, many of them have already happened, but it looks like there's a couple tagged on towards the end of the year. So Pooja and anybody else that was involved in that, bravo. Bravo, bravo. Was there anything you wanted to add to that, Taco?
No, mostly just highlighting that most of these events happened on March 8th, which is International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. And if you look around X or Blue Sky or Instagram, you will see super inspiring pictures to show to your daughter, Marcus, because it was absolutely fantastic to follow what was happening around the world.
Kind of interesting when we say around the world as well, though. Look at the geography of these things. Now, I don't know if it's just these were the ones that sort of captured Ray's attention, but let's just go through this. Now, I don't know where this one is, this first one, but I'm guessing it's Latin America. Yeah. Somewhere. Mm-hmm. So India, Africa, Uganda, Costa Rica, South America, India, Bolivia, Guatemala, Nicaragua. I mean, it's kind of interesting. The geography of where these things
those were all of them. There were none in the US as far as I know.
Yeah.
So interesting.
And none in Europe.
Or Europe.
That is interesting. That's a story.
I think it also is a testament to the growth of WordPress in India and Uganda as well.
Yeah.
It's definitely growing in those places over the last couple of years.
Yeah. Cammy has presented the most cryptic comment of the day, I think. It's just the word title. And what did you mean, Cammy? Did I miss
it? I think she means that. So now it's time stamped because she said it when you said, remember this sentence.
I see.
You can use it for the title.
She's
helping you timestamp.
She's so good. It's not cryptic at all. It's just that I'm not that clever. I don't have enough chromosomes. There's another one. It should be called that. I don't have enough chromosomes. I love that. I love it when I make myself chuckle. It's the highlight of my day. I have a friend who I will name. He's called Jonathan. I won't name him more than that. He has this profoundly cool habit, right? When he's feeling a little bit low or miserable, he starts laughing and he totally puts it on and he starts to go, and then he carries on like, and within 30 seconds, he can't stop. Everybody should try it. I sat in a room with him and we did it. And within 30 seconds, it was like 5 minutes of bellyache laughter. So give it a go next time at one of your staff meetings that's going a bit flat. Just get everybody to do that because it's guaranteed a win. Okay, here we go. Michelle Frechette, I got up at 4:30 to participate in an online one out of Calcutta. Thank you, Michelle.
Wow.
By the way, Michelle was on last week. I presume the situation is still the same. Michelle Frechette, you all know who she is. She is looking for work. Meet Michelle.online. She was let go from her current job about 10 days ago, I'm going to say. So if you've got any intuitions as to work that Michelle could do, we'd love for you to be in touch with her. Your statement about the sentence, got it. Thank you. Sounds like the end of the Mr. Happy book from the Mr. Men. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it probably is. He probably stole it from... Do you know what the Mr. Men book? No, let's move on.
No idea.
I do.
Okay. The little books drawn by very, very basic artist in the UK.
Just a little bit older.
Little kids' stories. We won't dwell on it. Let's move on. Okay, so speaking of online events or real-world events, the WPLDN, which is an event which I'm co-running with Dan Mabey and Paul Smart, we have a masterclass coming up. So if you're in the London area and you are free on the 24th of April, one of the regular attendees called Jackson is going to be doing a little masterclass for the day. It's all about block theming for WooCommerce. So if any of that meets your requirements, head to wpldn.uk/masterclass and you'll be able to learn all about it. It's on this page here, but it's going to be in person. I think there'll be a select number of people, but we'll be there. And by the way, if you are in the WordPress community, the WPLDN meetup, which takes place on the it happens on a Thursday right towards the end of the month. It's now getting really popular again. I know, we had sort of standing room only at the last few. And so it's really great. It's, I don't know, 70, 80 people in a space, which is designed for no more than that. So really good coming back.
You should go someday.
Yeah. Just drop London. We'll do it by train.
Okay. I've managed to fill it up even more. That's brilliant. Yeah, it's great. It's really nice. And the bonus is you get to hang out in the middle of London and you can sightsee the next day. So anyway, this is happening, like I said, 24th of April. If you want to be a part of it. Another event, this has just come to my attention. Kyle messaged me about 10 minutes before we started this. So Kyle Van Dusen runs the Admin Bar, very popular website, Facebook group, all to do with WordPress and what have you. He's got an event, which is a live event. It's happening on the 17th of March, so a week today. I can't see the exact time from that. Maybe it'll say somewhere on the screen. I can't see it. Anyway, it's almost like a game show sort of feel. It's called Name That Page Builder, and he's going to be putting Amber Hines against Jonathan Jernigan, who is working with Generate Blocks at the moment, but has been, you know, in the Oxygen community and various other places. And I guess the intuition, judging by what it says on the screen here, it says, can you think you can smell a divi site from a mile away? It's time to put your prowess to the test with the hottest new game in WordPress. Name That Page Builder. Join us live as two pros, Amber Hines and Jonathan Jernigan, battle head to head with their WordPress page builder trivia knowledge. So, you can find that. Google
What do you think a divi site smells like?
I'd reckon probably lavender, personally.
Right.
Maybe that or cheese, some kind of Glaswegian cheese.
Those are very different.
I'm so happy you didn't ask this question for Beaver Builder.
I am not even. I'm moving on so fast.
Keep going.
From that comment. Let's see. Crikey. I don't know, but I have you ever played that game? We used to do it in the car with me and my mates when we'd go on a journey, and we'd have to describe somebody that we knew. So not some like random film star, but it was usually somebody that we knew as a whatever. And cheese was a good one. So you had to describe somebody as a cheese. And then if nobody could get it based upon the cheese, it'd be things like as a piece of furniture. And you'd be surprised how quickly you can figure out who the person is. It doesn't take too much. I lead such an uninteresting life. What's the matter with me? Best joke of the day.
Taco.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I thought it was a bit risky.
Just my personality, you know.
Okay. It's in caps, so it's got to be true. It's all in caps. Nathan is cheddar. What the heck?
Classic. That's
the poor man's cheese.
Works on everything.
Wanted to be a nice gorgonzola or something like that, but there we go. Right. Anyway, there we go. So that's the page builder. Name that page builder event happening next week. Go and Google it or go to the admin bar and ask Kyle how you actually get to this. The link is too difficult. It's a YouTube link, so it's a bunch of pseudo random letters and stuff at the end, so I can't read it out. Okay. This is kind of curious. This came out of the Freemius site this week, and I kind of subscribed to this thought, I think, a little bit. When I started using WordPress back in, for me, it was about 2014, I started dabbling with it, and then a little bit later got more serious about it. I used to really hang out at Envato and those marketplaces. Do you remember Theme Forest back in the day and things like that? Theme Forest, Code Canyon and things like that. And they are now something that I never use. I don't go to AppSumo anymore. I don't go to Theme Forest. I don't go
to Code. What do you do now?
Oh, generally I just sit in the corner and, you know, moan about inequality.
Well, you've gotten to a place where people will message you about new products.
But also I go to the individual's thing. And usually I am driven, I think, a lot by social media. So I'll hear about a thing on social media and I'll go to that thing. But I'm not going, like my first port of call, if I need a plugin to do a thing, I am not going to a marketplace and then hoping to stumble across the right thing. I'm going to Google or something like that to discover. And then presumably I'll end up at some, you know, top five plugins that do this, that, and the other thing. That's the way I'm sort of usually doing it. Anyway, this article is all about the decline in those marketplaces and whether or not the plugin vendors and creators are kind of moving away from that. And for me, that's exactly what's happening in the industry. And presumably you guys over at Yoast, when you were doing your plugin, you went all independent. You didn't marketplace
never.
It at the beginning, did you?
No. So for me, those marketplaces was never a place where Yoast was in. But I, as a new plugin owner now, see very, very different landscape as it was like in 2014. And that has to do with the fact that social is so much harder to get traction from. So you used to just, when we used to do Facebook, I would just post something and it would get to all of our followers. And in the end, at Yoast, that was no longer the case. It was really hard to get to reach
even
people.
Even a few percent. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think there is a lot of saturation in the market in plugins and stuff. It's harder to get your new product out.
Yoast Premium wasn't and isn't, but Yoast, the free version, has always been in .org.
Oh, right? We call it a marketplace. That's
which would be a marketplace of sorts. I mean, there's a fair amount of distribution value to be had for being in the .org marketplace.
Do you know, it's interesting. I hadn't made the that's really stupid of me, isn't it? I hadn't really made the connection with the .org being
growing to be
the
top SEO choice in the .org marketplace. I think that's something to do with the growth of Yoast.
Of course. But even there now is so much competition on .org that if you you used to be like one of the few, no, not of the few, but there are so many plugins out there now. So it's hard also for an individual to find what they're looking for in in the repo.
Yeah.
In repo.
Yeah, I would say marketplace alone isn't enough at this point, but there is some value to having a distribution channel like a marketplace.
For sure.
That gets you in front of people, especially for the free version that, you know, then ultimately I think drove sales for a lot of the premium.
Yeah. And so for Yoast, SEO is something people search for.
Sure.
For Product Planner now, people don't know that they need that. So then the .org repository is just not as valuable because there are so many plugins out there and people don't search for what we offer. So it's hard to get that traction there now.
Okay, so I have a couple of observations from that. Firstly, in the article, it doesn't mention, as far as I remember, and I read it a few days ago now, I don't think it mentions .org. So I guess it's placed, that article was written with a reference point of paid marketplaces. So you go somewhere and everything that you buy, everything that you acquire is you pay some portion of the money. And the idea that you go there and you hope that the algorithm or the search or whatever boosts your product because it's been successful and you've got, a high star rating. So there's that. But also, I'm curious, and I'm going to fire this one at Taco, and you can say as little or basically you can back out of this question if you want. Given what Marika just said, and you're launching a not really new now, but new still-ish, I guess, this product progress planner, what's the plan for progress planner? How are you tackling that? If .org is really hard, if marketplaces don't exist, what's the plan?
Well, part of that we're still figuring out. Part of it is appearing on podcasts, putting Progress Planner in your title, getting people to go to progressplanner.com, saying Progress Planner 1,000 times so that people who are listening to this podcast think, oh, Progress Planner, maybe I should install. So that's one.
Check out Progress Planner.
You see, he's beguiled. He's already become an automaton. No,
I think we're figuring it out. And the reason for us to start with Progress Planner was to figure this out because we have invested in a number of other plugins. And the whole WordPress world has changed. So for me, it was also figuring out, okay, what works in 2025 and what doesn't work in 2025? Because I think it has become harder. And I don't know if the market is as good as it was a few years ago. There's a lot of things going on. But we're still moving forward.
Yes.
Yes, we are.
And my hope is that in-person events, like we have the WordCamps, like there's PressConf happening soon, CloudFest happening next week, stuff like that will also help getting the word out initially, probably to people we already know, but hopefully beyond that very quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I think you, one of your superpowers that you have over there is you, Taco. No, I'm not saying that to ingratiate myself with you. I think that's true. I think you're like really like well-recognized. You're quite tall. That helps. We can see you wherever you go. At these events, you know, you show up to these events and you're well-known. You've got a heritage of doing the right thing and working at a company and becoming popular and well thought of and things like that. I think it's really interesting. And honestly, the reason that I'm asking this question is very selfish because I too, I'm soon to have a product that I need to launch into the WordPress space. And I don't have the slightest clue what I'm going to do about it. And so basically, I'm going to ask Taco when this call has ended, how he's doing everything.
We can get a prize. That's fine.
Yeah.
Nice. It's something I think we're pretty successful in getting the word out. So because Taco says Progress Planner every other sentence, but that's not the same as people actually using it. And that's where we're now tweaking a bit on our proposition because I think that's important too. So the fact that nobody searches for a problem we solve, we need to have people wanting to solve something as well. So the problem that we're solving isn't clear enough to people yet. So that's what we're working on now.
Yep.
So we're going to make that all clear.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm really genuinely curious because, like I said, this is going to be a thing that I've got to deal with in the near future. But these marketplaces going away, on the one hand, it means that, you know, people are going out and doing Googling and all of those kind of things. But also it does make it so much harder. And yeah, kind of interesting. So that was on the freemium marketplace. Sorry, Marcus.
That's okay. Not speaking to the product side of it, where, of course, you have to have a product that people want to use. For me, I think if I see something show up in four or five different places, I think at some point I say I have to check out what this thing is. You know, I've gone to an event and I've seen it said, I've listened to a podcast and they talked about this thing. I was watching a YouTube video and it came up in, you know, this product review where I searched and it was in this top five list. Okay, now I've seen it four or five times. I have to check it out. So then I go to the site and then it's all about the product positioning. And that's where the product side is important. Once you've driven people to the product, you've got to then make the case for the product being used for them to, for, you know, for them to check it out and pay for it. But for me, I think it's just kind of some level of saturation across different things. And that's, I think, what Taco was talking about too, about being on this podcast and talking about it. Taco is making the rounds to different things, making sure that people talk about it. And now, you know, I've heard about Progress Planner four or five times. Now I have no choice but to go check it out. I need to know what it is. I've heard it enough times that I need to know what it is. Go to progressplanning.com and check it out. But that's when the product side of it picks up, though, and you have to say, okay, they've come to our site. Now I have to make the case for them downloading it, trying it out, seeing, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah, there's a whole load of psychology behind that, isn't it?
Marcus just speaks about what science says. So it needs four or five pinpoints that a consumer needs on average. And that's when they decide, okay, I'm going to buy or try.
Yeah, I mean, there's no direct relationship between the amount of television adverts that you do at the great cost of those and the, you know, the cars purchased, but there's definitely a relationship.
Yes, because when people stop doing those television ads, then those sales go down.
Yeah.
There's a famous example of a laundry detergent that didn't see direct effects of television commercials and then decided, we're going to stop doing television commercials. And then that entire brand broke down.
Right.
So there is an effect, but you don't see it.
Okay.
It takes a while. And we always think that we can do it tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's just have a quick look here. Do custom print t-shirts at work camps for people thinking, what's that? Yes.
Yes, it does.
He's got it. Can I just say, interestingly, it doesn't have the words on it. Was that a conscious decision?
Yeah, it does on the back.
Oh, it does on the back. Back. Yeah. Fine.
Look at the Q&A Matt did in WordCamp Asia.
Okay. I didn't hear the beginning of that sentence. What did you say?
Yeah, you can see the text on the back in the Q&A that Matt did at WordCamp Asia because
I was knew where the cameras were. Very cleverly done. Catch up on the latest WP Product Talk series that's covering a new plugin idea from launch week by week. Okay, thank you. That's good advice as well from Dave. It's just, I've just looked at the time and we've got quite a few stories to cover, but no time to cover them. And I haven't even started my banana yet. What the heck? So we'll just quickly race through. I've made Taco cough. I feel quite, that was my goal at the very beginning. CloudFest is coming up. Honestly, we have enough clouds in the UK. We don't need to celebrate them with a festival, but this is happening and WordPress is a big part of it this year. It was in previous years, but this year it's a really big part. There's a whole thing called the WP Zone and Carol Ollinger is running the hackathon and bits and pieces like that. I wish I'd had more time to cover it, but this is an article very, very nicely done by Bob Dunn, that we all know, Bob WP. And I'll just quote from the top. CloudFest, coming up next week, the premier event for cloud computing and internet infrastructure professionals is taking place 17th to the 20th at the renowned Europa Park in Germany's Black Forest. This year's conference introduces the WP Zone, a dedicated space to connect the WordPress ecosystem with the broader cloud community. I don't know if it's sold out or not yet, but I'm going to be going for the first time. And
there were a couple of tickets left last week, so it may be sold out by now, but
okay,
yeah, check it out, cloudfest.com.
Yeah, and any of you guys going?
Joost is going, but yeah. We're not.
Joost de Valk, the person.
Joost the person. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say the whole of the Joost companies. Okay. Well, I'll try and see him there. Maybe I'll challenge him to a server throwing contest, because apparently that's something they do.
I would love to see the video of you competing against Joost.
I think I'm going to have a not only like not throw it very far, but end up in the hospital with some kind of problem with my bones. I'm not built for throwing servers, Deco. That's the truth.
It was a server accident. That's why you're in the
hospital. Right. Yeah. Is your server accident. Down? No, but Wrigley is. He's down. He's down. He's not coming back up again. Okay, so go to that if you've got the bandwidth. I've decided to get the train, which I'm quite excited about.
Oh, cool.
I know. I'm very excited about it. It's quite a lot of changes here, there, and everywhere. But hopefully, it'll be a nice, entertaining thing. Right, let's see what else we've got very quickly. Nothing. We've got loads of things that we could have covered, but we have literally run out of time. I'll just say this one though: do you want a domain for 100 years? What's that?
It's
a nice idea, but I wonder how many people would do it. It's kind of an interesting one. WordPress.com is selling domains for 100 years, so you can sort of lock it in. I'm just thinking about the town where I live, you know. I mean, a lot of my town was different 100 years ago. It's hard to imagine what the future will hold in 100 years, or whether people will even be visiting domains and things like that.
Well, you don't know. And is it very expensive?
It is not cheap, where's it gone? Here we go. Yeah, 100 years, $38,000. So it's, you know, it's not.
That's for the hosting. Domain and hosting.
Precisely, right. So, you know, the domain cost itself is a small part of that, but you get hosting for 100 years. And the intention would be that they give you all sorts of guarantees about, you know, if automatic or .com goes out of business or what have you, these kind of curious guarantees about how it will keep going. And you get one of those to hold as well, which is kind of fun. But I don't know. It seems like I'm quite happy to pay year by year. And I guess
they introduced this 2 years ago.
You got 98 years left already. What the heck?
Well, pretty much. Yeah. So they introduced the whole 100-year hosting offering 2 years ago. And the only new thing now is that you can secure a domain name for 100 years without the hosting.
Okay.
And that's just $2,000, but it's limited to a couple of TLDs.
Yeah.
I am so profoundly bad at maths that I am chuffed to bits with myself at having 100 minus 2 coming out of my mouth in real time. That's pretty good. I'm going to have a bite of banana. That's how excited I am about that. Okay, right, that's it. We've got no more to... Oh, I wish I hadn't eaten the banana.
Why? Because I've got to speak. No. What was I thinking? I'm now going to wrap up with a banana in my mouth. Oh,
folly. Never mind.
Yeah.
Right. give me a minute.
So maybe while you're finishing your bite of banana, can you quickly open up the main WP's 11th anniversary link? I mean, that would be quite nice to highlight, because people can get a discount.
$50 off if you're using or you haven't used main WP. They've got 11 years under their belt now. And as a sort of way of demonstrating that, they're offering $50 off main WP Pro every year. Main WP is a self-hosted version of one of those services that takes care of updating your website and does so much more. It is a properly credible tool. It's literally the first thing I do when I sit down at my computer every day, as I log into my install of main WP and update the bits and pieces across the across my vast empire of websites.
Running from the planner, of course.
Yeah, there's that four websites. So bravo to them, Dennis and team, for keeping that project going for 11 years. Seems like they've done a really fantastic job of growing in the more recent past. And so I suspect that we will be hearing about them for many, many years to come. There were other pieces that I missed. Was there anything that any of you wanted me to desperately do?
We'll leave some good stuff for next week.
We'll leave some good stuff for next time. That sounds good to me. In which case, it only remains for me to do a couple of things. The first one is to not eat any more banana. The second one is to say a great big thank you to the people on the screen. So thanks to Taco and Marika. Thank you, Marika, for coping with the audio gremlins at the beginning. That was quite fun. Yeah. And also to Marcus Burnett for joining us as well.
Thank you
to you if you joined us live or, you know, I nearly said dead then. I really appreciate you joining us. It really does make the show a whole lot more interesting. Really, really appreciate it. We'll be back. I don't know whether we'll be back next week because I'm going to be at Cloudfest. Maybe I'll try and do it live from Cloudfest. Would that
That'd be fun.
From a roller coaster.
Oh my God. Come on. No, with a banana. Oh, what could possibly go wrong?
You'll be strapped in.
We'll see. I might try that. We'll see. I don't know. Taco, it looks like you had something quickly to say before.
Well, the hands.
Oh, we need to do the hands. Yeah, of course. We're going to do the hands. That goes without saying. So thank you to guests. Thank you to co-hosts. Thank you to anybody who joined. Really appreciate it. Oh, Michelle. This is how good my brain is. Michelle Frechette, who's in the comments, has told me that I've already decided that I'm not doing it next week because of CloudFest. Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate it.
But now you'll be doing it from a roller coaster.
Yeah, now I'm going to do it from a roller coaster. That's great. Oh, heck. And so it begins. Okay. I'll see you there, Patricia. Right. We have to do the silly hands thing.
Do we have to do this?
We all have to raise it. Look, Marika's like, what the heck? Look, there they are. We got all the hands. Thank you so much. We'll be back at some point in the near future for episode number 327. For now, thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.